Lakers Carpool is brought to you by Hook Products USA. Truck lovers, tow hook covers finally are here. Introducing Tokes, a first-of-its-kind tow hook cover that is a great way to personalize your truck's factory tow hooks. Tokes are made in the USA out of high-grade silicone rubber that clasps right over your truck's factory tow hooks so it installs in seconds and no tools are needed. With colors red, white, blue, pink, and amber, and costing just $34.95 per pair, Tokes are a unique and affordable way to customize your truck. Go to hookproductsusa.com and head over to the compatibility tool to make sure that Tokes will fit over your truck's tow hooks. After that, checkout is super easy and your truck will be rocking its Tokes in no time. Again, that's hookproductsusa.com for Tokes, the original tow hook cover. Welcome to Lakers Carpool. My name is James Brooks. I'm your host. Thanks for joining me on today's episode. The Lakers got a huge win against the Suns in the quarterfinals of the in-season tournament. We're going to dive into that game, talk about the upcoming semifinal game for the Lakers against the Pelicans in the in-season tournament, and we'll go from there. So the Lakers are heading into last night's game. They were sitting at 12-9 on the season. Since my last episode, I believe they had played the Rockets and got a win. Let's double check that. Yep. So they played the Rockets and got a win 107-97, sitting at 12-9. We had gotten a bad loss against the Thunder, and again, nice bounce back win against the Rockets, 107-97. So heading into this week, pretty much this week was set aside for the in-season tournament, depending on who made it and whatnot. So on Monday night, we had Indiana Pacers against the Boston Celtics and the Pelicans against the Sacramento Kings. And I didn't watch the full game between the Pacers and the Celtics, but I caught the very end. And man, it was like a playoff atmosphere during that game. It was awesome. Indiana absolutely, well, they ended up winning. I think they ended up winning that game by 10 points against the Celtics, knocking the Celtics out. Being a single elimination tournament and all that stuff. So a great, just, it's been fun. It was a fun first night with that game. The Pelicans ended up beating the Kings, I believe, by like 10 points, a little bit more of a blowout in that game, which was, honestly great. Like, I feel like going into the in-season tournament, so the Lakers got the number one seed because they went 4-0 in their pool. They got matched up against the Suns, who got the wild card spot in the West as the four seed, and then the Pelicans and the Kings went up against each other as the two and three seeds. And on the Eastern Conference side, you had the Celtics, pulling it up really quick, but you had the Celtics taking on the Pacers. I think the Pacers were the one seed. You had the Bucks taking on the Knicks. So in the East now, we have the Bucks and the Pacers going up against each other, and then we have the Lakers going up against the Pelicans on the West. So it's been, that first night, that Celtics-Pacers game was super fun to watch and catch a glimpse of. There was a point where it was a close game, and Tyrese Haliburton got an and-one three-pointer, 4-point play, then went down. I think Buddy Hield hit a three after that, and then they got like a steal, threw it up to, I don't know, one of their big guys who jammed it, and the place just went nuts. It gave them like a 9-point lead or 10-point lead or something, and the place was just going nuts. And they ended up pulling out the win, winning by 10. So that one, it was close towards the end, but the Pacers pulled away. Okay, so on the East, it's the Bucks are the one seed, the Knicks were the four seed, Pacers were the two seed, and Celtics were the three seed. Then the West, Lakers 1, Suns 4, Kings were 2, and Pelicans 3. So the Pelicans get the win over the Kings, and they'll take on the Lakers. Now the semifinal games take place in Las Vegas. The championship game takes place in Las Vegas, which is great for the Lakers because Las Vegas is like a second home. If you ever watch the NBA Summer League, the Laker games always have huge show, the fans show out for the Lakers in Las Vegas in Summer League. So we can expect a pretty fun, and you have probably just a ton of Las Vegas residents that are Lakers fans, and then you probably have a good amount of Lakers fans that are just diehards that will, make the 3 to 5 hour drive, depending on where you live in the LA area, to Vegas for the game. It's a fun game. It's the first ever in-season tournament semifinal game with, a chance for the Lakers to go on and get a, go get a win and then take on either Milwaukee or Indiana for the championship. So, or for the cup or whatever, whatever they're calling it. So, I think that we can expect a super rowdy, well, maybe not rowdy, but just a loud and fun Lakers crowd on the games tomorrow on Thursday, December 7th. I think we can expect a good show out of Lakers fans in Vegas for this tournament. So that'll be fun. And then I feel like the Lakers are in a pretty good spot to make a run at this thing. I mean, there's only, 8 teams in the tournament, so like you have a good, I think each team has a good shot at it if you can just put things together. But going up against the Suns in the first round was a little bit worrisome just because you never know. KD and Devin Booker can go off for 30 and 40 points. They can put up 120. And if the Lakers just don't have it that night offensively, maybe they lose that game. But instead, the Lakers took on the Suns last night and got a 106 to 103 win. Ended up being a pretty close game. The Lakers came out on fire in the first half, not even offensively, but just in general, playing with a lot of energy, playing good defense. They forced something like 14 turnovers from the Suns in the first half, something crazy like that. So the Lakers just came out and played really well in the first half. They had a 12-point lead, I believe, at halftime. Really taking advantage of those turnovers and whatnot. I'm pulling up the box score right now. So we had a 33 to 23 lead at halftime. So we were up 12, or sorry, 33-23 lead after the end of the first quarter, then a 12-point lead at halftime. We'll get into the second half in a minute. But in that first half, the Lakers were just playing good defense. The Suns in the to in the whole game, the Suns had, where are we at? Turnovers. They had 20 turnovers the entire game, and I think they had more than half of those in the first half. I want to try and pull up some other stats really quick. But yeah, so the Lakers just getting there, they're so we had Jared Vanderbilt. He's back in the lineup, not starting lineup, but he's back in the rotation. I think his first game back was against the Rockets, but it seems like he's in a bit of a minutes restriction because he didn't play a ton last night. But having him back, having Rui back, just their long arms getting to the passing lanes and all that stuff, like just a really good defensive effort from the Lakers, I'd say, for the most part. I mean, holding the Suns to 103 points, which I think that's the second time we've done that this season, is pretty impressive. Just considering what we, what the Lakers are going up against when they go up against Durant and Devin Booker, who, Durant can hit a can get a shot from any spot on the, he's almost impossible to guard. Let's see. I'm trying to find the game. All right, so at halftime, the Lakers were up 59 to 47. We had 24 rebounds to 22 rebounds, 17 assists to 12 assists. We weren't shooting all that great. The Suns were shooting 45.9% at halftime on 37 attempts. The Lakers were shooting 40% on 55 attempts. So while our shooting percentage was lower, we did make more shots than they did. 22 for 55 in the first half. They were 17 for 37. Turnover wise, yeah, they had 13 turnovers in the first half. We only had 4 turnovers in the first half. Let's see. We had 15 second chance points, which honestly, like, that's never been the case. I feel like we're usually way down on second chance points. We had less fast break points in that halftime. They had 13. We had 8. We had 16 points off turnovers. The thing that's crazy here, they had 13 points and we had 16 points off turnovers. We only had 4 turnovers and they had 11 points off turnovers. So in that sense, like, we did not take advantage nearly as well as we could have on those turnovers, and they were still up, or the Lakers still ended up being up by 12 points, you know, at halftime. So could have been way, way bigger of a lead at halftime had we even taken more advantage of the turnover situation for Phoenix. And then free throw wise at halftime, 11 for 14, they were 10 for 11. So we got 14 attempts, which mean, you know, shows that we're attacking the basket. We took 16 3-pointers in the first half to their 10. We went 4 for 16, they went 3 for 10. All in all, just, you know, forcing those 13 turnovers, even though we didn't take advantage of it nearly as well as we could have, it still helped, you know, allowed us to build a 12-point lead going to halftime. Now, this is where things get crazy, is going into the third quarter. I'm pretty sure it was a 14-0 run for the Suns to start the second half, and that 12-point lead turned into a 2-point deficit very quick. So when that happened, I was like, oh gosh, here we are. You know, thinking this first half was like, ooh, this is nice. You know, it was funny, my brother was over, and we had gone to game four of the Western Conference Finals against Denver. And, you know, we're going to the game thinking like, you know, the Lakers probably aren't going to win this series, but like, let's at least win this one game. You know, let's win the game that we go to or something. And the Lakers came out in that game and were up at halftime, I think. They were playing pretty well. They had a pretty big lead even, I'm pretty sure, at halftime. I can't remember off the top of my head how big of a lead it was, but I'm pretty sure they were up by like double digits at halftime. And I'm like, oh, this feels good. We're doing well. This, you know, this looks great. And then things changed quickly and the Lakers lost, and that was that. So I was worried that a similar thing was going to happen last night against the Suns once that 14-0 run happened to start the third quarter. But the Lakers were able to regroup, figure things out, and, you know, keep fighting back, keep punching back, and ultimately, you know, end up winning that game. There was a few controversial calls late in that game, or should I say no calls, or, you know. So there was one point, well, the one thing that everyone's talking about on Twitter that, you know, Devin Booker also talked about in his press conference and stuff was late in the game, Lakers are up, and they were up by one? No, they're up by two at this point. Lakers are up by two. And Austin Reaves has the ball. He's trying to draw a foul to get to the free throw line, you know, to try and ice the game. And, you know, Devin Booker, like, they don't call the foul on Devin Booker. Then he gets trapped, I think, by both Durant and Booker, loses the ball. As this is happening, LeBron James is calling timeout, and the referee on the other side of the court calls timeout for the Lakers, and Lakers retain possession. Now, everyone, all Suns fans or anyone that's not a Lakers fan was up in arms over this, saying that the Suns got screwed because the ball was out of Austin Reaves' hand when the timeout was called and all this stuff. And when you look at it live, I'm going to be honest, it looks like Austin Reaves lost control of the ball. You know, it did not seem like he still had possession when the Lakers were awarded the timeout. But when you slow down the replay and you look at the replay, you know, it's really tough, you know. And I guess apparently with timeouts, awarded timeouts like that, the refs can't go back and review it. So it was an unreviewable situation for either team, or like the Suns couldn't challenge it, is what I'm trying to say. So it, you know, Suns fans are saying that they got screwed by this, but they did a pool report on the timeout in the final minute of the game. And let's see, the question is, why were the Lakers awarded a timeout when it appeared that they did not have possession of the ball? And the response is, during live play, the official felt that LA still had possession of the ball when LeBron James requested the timeout. Through post-game video review and slow-motion replay, we did see that Austin Reaves had his left hand on the ball while it was pinned against his left leg, which does constitute control. So, in that sense, like, it was a controversial call. I think, you know, Reggie Miller, the announcers, were like, oh, that's a bad, they should not have gotten the timeout, he doesn't have control, blah, blah, blah. But the refs reviewed it afterwards. They slow motion looked at it and stood by their call, which they did not technically have to do. You know, if it was the bad call, they should have admitted it. So in that sense, like, you know, Lakers haters can go cry about it, I guess. But like, definitely controversial in the live situation as a fan watching the game. I was unsure. I couldn't figure it out. You know, if anything, I think the Lakers got lucky in that situation. And then there was another situation which I haven't seen anyone talking about on Twitter. I was the only one that tweeted about it. But there was a point late in the fourth quarter. I'm trying to remember when it was. It was definitely a big possession. And I think the Lakers scored on the possession too. But LeBron James got the ball and like was backing up at near half court and like stepped on the line. Should have been a backcourt. Didn't get called. And honestly, I think we have these terrible in-season tournament courts to thank for that, because you know, everything, there's all the color and everything going on in the court, like you kind of can't see. It's kind of hard to see, like LeBron's foot stepped on it and like we saw it on the TV, but like, you know, I think these courts are ugly and they're terrible, but at least they saved us from getting called for backcourt on that play. But I'm surprised that there haven't seen more Suns fans or Warrior fan, Laker haters talking about that on Twitter. So the Lakers did get a couple breaks, but also to be fair, you know, I hate being this guy, but like every possession that Anthony Davis is down underneath the basket, he gets hacked so much, you know, and he rarely gets those calls. Like he probably had 3 or 4 missed layups, which look like just missed layups down by the rim, but then you look at the replay in the slow motion, and like his arms and wrists and everything are getting hit the entire time. It's like, even if you're 7 foot tall, it's hard to make that when your arms are getting hit and smacked and stuff. So, yeah, could Anthony Davis be a little bit stronger underneath and kind of force his way in there a little bit better? Yeah, probably. There's a little room there for that from him, but also at the end of the day, like a foul should be a foul no matter what, no matter how big you are. No matter who you are, if you're getting hit on the wrists and the forearms and the hands when you're trying to put a layup, you know, whether it's a layup, a putback, or whatever, that should be a call. That should be a foul every time. You know, and I get like there's things like that happen, right? Like in the NFL, people say that if you could call a holding call on every play in the NFL, you just have to blah, blah, blah. You know, like they say, like they hold on every play. If they called it every time, that there'd be a flag on every play. And, you know, people say the same thing in the NBA, like, you know, you could call a foul on every, you're going to call a foul on every single play that, you know, it's like, it is what it is. You know, if the guy's getting fouled to the point where he can't make a layup, Anthony Davis is a good basketball player. He doesn't just botch layups over and over and over and over again. Like, yeah, sure, he has bad games and stuff, but like, come on, you know, like let's give him the calls and stuff. And then there's also people on Twitter with the whole timeout situation, that play that, once the ball got loose, it hit off Devin Booker's foot, which should have been a kick ball. And, you know, they're basically tackling him to the ground as the ball is getting loose anyway. So like it should have eventually been a foul, even if they didn't call the initial contact a foul. So, you know, there's a lot of discrepancy and stuff. And if you're a Suns fan, sure, you're going to be upset. And if I was a Suns fan, would I be upset? Yeah, 100%. You know, I would be annoyed by it because it's a really close call. It's a really close play. But for the refs to go back and look at it in slow motion and still determine that and stand by that giving the timeout was legal, quote unquote, in the basketball sense. I don't feel like the Lakers got like super lucky in that sense. If they got lucky in any situation, it was that they didn't call backcourt on LeBron. and I late in the game there. So the Lakers end up pulling it out. Austin Reaves hit a huge three late in the fourth quarter to put the Lakers up. I think it put the Lakers up five. There was a few really good possessions. LeBron had a good possession where he hit a layup. I think the layup put the Lakers up five, and they came down and hit a two. I think it's, yeah, maybe they hit a three, made it a 2-point game, and then Reaves goes down and hit a three to make it a 5-point game. But it was a big three from Reaves where, you know, he shot it early in the shot clock on like the second to last possession of the game pretty much. And they left him wide open. I mean, the thing with Reaves is right now he's shooting like what, 30% or something from three. And you know, hasn't been the most consistent 3-point shooter this year. So of all the guys on the floor, you're going to worry, you know, you're first going to worry about LeBron, then you're going to worry about Anthony Davis, and then probably Reeves, but they were just backing off of him. You know, he kind of dribbled in, did a little step back, and had a pretty open three that he drained to ice the game. So just a really gutsy, good win from the Lakers. Anthony Davis missed the back end of some free throws that kept it a three-point game. It could have been a four-point game if he made both free throws. He missed the back end of one that technically gave the Suns one more shot that Kevin Durant airballed. So at the end of the day, the Lakers get the win. That's all that matters. The Lakers are 3-0 against the Suns this season so far. These games do still count for towards the standings, you know. So Lakers are sitting at 13-9 now. The only game that does not count in the in-season tournament is the championship game. So towards the standings, which will be interesting. So the Lakers go on. They're going to take on the Pelicans, who are an interesting matchup. You know, the Pelicans are a weird team, right? Like, they beat the Kings by 10 points when the Lakers haven't beat the Kings yet. The Lakers have been blown out by the Kings this season twice, I think. But the Pelicans have gone and beaten, they've gone and beat the Kings by 10. And then, so let's see. Yeah, they beat the Kings by 10. In that game, you had, let's see, Brandon Ingram put up 30. Herb Jones put up 23. Valanciunas had 18. McCollum had 17. Zion only had 10. Murphy off the bench had 16. Just a really good offensive performance from the Pelicans. They shot 54%, 45% from three. The Lakers, you know, I don't think we've played the Pelicans yet this season. Yeah, this will be the first game against the Pelicans this season. The thing with the Pelicans that's weird, though, is, like, you look at their last five games. At Utah, they lost by 2. And then they go and they beat the Sixers by 10. What's up with that game? They beat the Sixers by 10 where... Oh, no. No Embiid. Embiid didn't play. So that makes a little more sense. Against Utah, this game against Utah, they lost. Did they have a full team? They didn't have McCollum, it looks like. So they don't have McCollum in this game, or they lose to the Jazz. So there's that. Then they lose to the Bulls a little less than a week ago. The Bulls are pretty bad this season. No McCollum in that game again. So, you know, they've been dealing with a few injuries that have kind of limited them against some bad teams where they've lost some bad games. They're a threat, you know. They're a big team. Between, they have Valanciunas, they have Brandon Ingram, they have Zion Williamson. You know, CJ McCollum is a guy that'll kill you from the three. So, you know, I feel, you know, considering how we've played against the Kings in the last two games, I'd rather go up against the Pelicans than against the Kings. But the Pelicans do pose enough threats that, you know, the length of Ingram, the bully ball ability from Zion, the three-point shooting from McCollum, you know, there's enough there to be worried about, like, if they keep putting those pieces together like they did against Sacramento. The thing that the Lakers have that they showed against the Suns last night is their defense. You know, again, the Suns have the ability to put up a ton of points if they can get Booker and Durant going. And they, you know, the Lakers did a pretty good job at stifling Devin Booker. Durant still had his points, you know, he still scored over 30 points. But they did a good job at keeping Booker from getting things really going. And so if we can kind of do the thing with the Sun or the Pelicans is, like, Brandon Ingram's a threat, but he's a pretty similar player to Kevin Durant. So the game plan covering him can be similar. The Zion is kind of the wild card, right? Like, do you put AD on Zion? Do you put AD on Ingram? Does AD go and guard Valanciunas? Do you play Christian Wood? Christian Wood got 0 minutes against the Suns. Does he get some minutes and play against and kind of play defense against Valanciunas? Do you give Jackson Hayes some more minutes? There's some pretty interesting questions from a matchup standpoint here. You know, do you throw Vanderbilt? You probably throw Vanderbilt at Brandon Ingram is my guess. I think that's what we did last season a lot. you throw Vanderbilt against Ingram. The hard thing is our guard defense is pretty poor. Even though we did a decent job against Booker, I wouldn't say a great job, but we did decent against Booker. You know, Reeves isn't the best defender. D'Lo's not the best defender. Let's see, what did Booker have last night? Booker had 21 points. You know, like a decent game, but he was 6 for 16, not very efficient. So I would say that's a good, you know, that's some, if you're holding Booker under 25 points, that's a pretty good game defensively for him. You can probably put Torian Prince probably on. Or the thing, the Lakers defense is crazy. I keep forgetting about certain guys. Like Cam Reddish, he has been a really good defender for us. Torian Prince has been a decent defender for us. Like, you know, as we know, Vanderbilt's a really good defender. Rui Hachimura can be a really good defender. Obviously, Anthony Davis. You know, Max Christie has been a really good defensive guard. You know, throwing Max Christie against CJ McCollum, I think he could shut him down. Honestly, maybe not totally shut him down, but I think that he can step up and really make McCollum's life a lot harder. You know, and then from there, it's like you throw Torian Prince at Zion? Maybe. He's undersized for sure, but maybe that's our best bet. Or maybe you throw, you know, maybe you have this a defensive rotation of like Vanderbilt on Ingram, or Reddish on Ingram, Cam Reddish on Ingram, Vanderbilt on Zion, AD on Valanciunas, and then you could put Prince on McCollum. The thing that's also nice too is you can put Vanderbilt on McCollum too. Vanderbilt can, you know, he can cover all the way from McCollum to Brandon Ingram. So there's a lot, Lakers have a lot of good options defensively. It's just a matter of executing, kind of feeling it out as the game goes, who has it, who doesn't, who seems to have the hot hand for New Orleans, and who's the best person to go up against and stop someone, you know? So I kind of like the defensive matchup that we can potentially pose against New Orleans. Now, will we do it? That's a good question. You know, if we can go out and play with the same intensity that we did it against Phoenix, then I like our chances. And then from there, we're worrying about either Milwaukee or Indiana. But, you know, before then, it's New Orleans, and they have, you know, they have some significant threats offensively between Ingram and Zion and McCollum. And, you know, Valanciunas, he's not as huge offensively, but maybe the Zion and those guys open things up for Valanciunas and he can get some easy buckets and stuff. You know, so there's just a lot of guys on that team that you got to be mindful of and see what's going on there and all that stuff. So the thing that makes me feel good too is the Lakers didn't shoot all that great against the Suns last night, you know. So again, defensive effort. Defense wins championships, man. That's the motto here at Lakers Carpool Podcast. Defense wins championships. And this might not be a championship, but it's a championship of sorts, you know. And I think if the Lakers can step up and keep playing a similar level of defense that they did against Phoenix and that we've seen throughout the season so far, now that we have some guys healthy again and everything, I feel good about our chances against New Orleans tomorrow night in Vegas. I'm excited to see the Lakers fans in Vegas show out and just be loud, basically make this a quasi-home game for the Lakers, even though it's in Vegas and all that stuff. So I appreciate you all for listening. Go Lakers. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Lakers Carpool. If you enjoyed the episode, please rate and review on Apple Podcasts and share it on social media with your friends. You can find the podcast on Anchor, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or most places where you listen to podcasts. Again, thank you so much for listening, and go Lakers.
2.1 seconds remaining. Denver a foul to give. Jokic trying to disrupt Rondo. He puts it in. Here's Davis, 4-3 in the win. Oh, it's good! Anthony Davis has won!